You're listening to Current State on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. Labor Day is next Monday, and with it, the annual Muscular Dystrophy Telethon. Over the years, hundreds of millions of dollars have been raised for research to help people like our next guest, Mo Gerhardt. Gerhardt is the author of Perspective from an Electric Chair. The book chronicles his childhood, his diagnosis at the age of 8, and how he's coped with the disease and other physical challenges. He talked about his life and his book with Current State's Scott Pohl.
At birth, there were no signs of anything different, but growing up as a young kid, I remember actually specifically in kindergarten when everyone would be sitting on the floor, I would be the last one to be able to get up. It took me a little bit extra time, and we lived in a two-story house, and going upstairs, I wasn't able to alternate my feet. I'd have to do one at a time and sort of push off my knees. So there were some signs. I remember playing youth soccer and not being able to kick the ball as hard as my teammates. So there were little things, you know, as far as growing up was concerned, but nothing as far as hand-eye coordination or anything as far as like speaking or walking. Those stages all came across normal, but it was just little things here and there that were sort of the beginning initial signs that something just wasn't normal. And that's why my parents sort of did take a couple extra steps and had some tests run and had me go through with a couple of physical therapists until they were able to make that definitive diagnosis based off of a muscle biopsy that I had when I was 8 years old.
So at the age of 8, when you get a diagnosis like that, what's next in terms of your treatment, the way your parents help you function? What goes on at the age of 8 when this happens?
It's interesting. When I think back on it, I honestly do not recall one specific day where I was told that I had muscular dystrophy or one specific doctor's appointment. In reality, it was something that I had been living with my whole life. So it wasn't as if something all of a sudden changed. It was still a normal everyday occurrence to me. Now, obviously, for my parents, that was a different story. You know, when they did receive that diagnosis, I think for any parent, that's going to be, you know, a blow and a big time shock. And I think they could probably tell you today, specifically that day that they were told where they were, what they were doing. Whereas for me, it was just the same old. I was still just going on and continuing with my everyday occurrences. But I do remember in elementary school, you know, a few different physical occurrences where to me, all of a sudden, it did become more of a reality where I was able to see my classmates doing some things that all of a sudden physically I knew I wasn't able to do. And all of a sudden, I knew why I wasn't able to do it either.
When did you start using a wheelchair?
I was actually fully walking up until through my junior year in high school. I had started to use a wheelchair on an intermediate basis, specifically more so during the winter months, especially growing up in Traverse City where the winters are long times and quite harsh at times. It's interesting that at that point, our high school, you still had to go outdoors to get to class. And so during those winter months, I would use a wheelchair outside to get from my classes just for safety reasons. And then it was actually on the night of my best friend's birthday, when I got back home late that night, May 23rd of 1995, I actually had a bad fall at my house and fractured my femur. I had a spiral fracture in my femur where it cracked in three different places. And after that and the atrophy from that rehab, I've used a wheelchair on a full-time basis ever since. It was one of those things, in order for me to have the most independence, it was determined that I would go right to a power wheelchair. Muscular dystrophy, it affects all your muscles, so that would be arm muscles included. So really using a manual or a push chair wouldn't allow me to get to point A to point B. So I went right to an electric chair right away.
All right, I want to ask you one last question about the challenges you face before we move on to how you deal with all of this. You've been involved in a bus accident. You've had multiple bone fractures. You've lost the vision in your right eye. You've really been up against it physically. And can you tell me a little bit more about functioning in the world that the rest of us function in when you have a wheelchair necessity, you've got a vision issue? Tell me more about getting around and functioning from day to day.
There definitely have been their challenges, as you mentioned. Some of those other things that have occurred have been nothing to do with my muscular dystrophy at all. So one thing I definitely do try to remember, and it's actually a saying I sort of created for myself, is that it's not the diagnosis that determines your outcome. So we're able to make a lot of choices in our life. What I've also found, I've been able to meet a lot of great people because of my disability and been able to, travel to different places and speak to a lot of different groups. And what I've found is in this world is no matter how bad you have it, unfortunately, there's also somebody else out there that has it worse off than you do. So we're all blessed with things. And I'm fortunate enough where my mind is not affected by my disability. So I've been able to go on and receive a great education and to be able to utilize that in my work every day. And I'm very fortunate that I'm able to communicate with people, you know, how I feel and my, day-to-day interactions. So I'm blessed with that. And honestly, that's what I think gets me through some of those challenges that I do face. Because sure, there are those down days. I think that's just human nature. And I'd be lying if I said that there weren't those days where those challenges impacted me greater than others. But as I've mentioned, I have a great support system. My family throughout my whole life has been very instrumental in all of my achievements. And I know I wouldn't have been able to achieve a lot of the success that I have without their support. And same thing with my friends. From a young age, I think being different is not something that anyone wants. And I can honestly say that I don't ever feel as if I was bullied growing up. And that's a testament to my friends and my peers.
Well, here's where we're going to shift into talking about your achievements, which include, you mentioned your day-to-day work. You work here at MSU after getting bachelor's and master's degrees here at Michigan State University. So, Mo Gerhardt, tell us about the kind of work you do here on campus.
Yeah, I currently work with the College of Natural Sciences. I'm an academic advisor. Primarily, my main sort of cohort of students are the pre-professional students on campus, which would range anywhere from your pre-med, pre-dental, basically all of your pre-health career type students. Those are going to be the main focus that I work with. But then I have a few other hats, too, that are underneath sort of my supervision. And I work with students in the natural sciences that are the NatSci No Pref. So that would primarily be your freshman and sophomore students in the sciences that don't know specifically which major they're looking for in the sciences, but they know they want to go somewhere in the sciences. Then I also am the student athlete liaison for the natural sciences. So any varsity athlete on campus that is a natural science major, I help work with them to coordinate to make sure they maintain all their eligibility components. And then I've also recently been added on with through the Honors College, working with students in the natural sciences that are the Honors College students.
You mentioned athletics, Mo, and some of our listeners might recognize your name and your voice from the radio broadcasts of the MSU women's basketball games. You've been the analyst on the radio broadcasts. Tell us about getting involved with athletics at MSU, both in that way. And also, I know you've done some competing in athletics, wheelchair athletics over the years. So athletics has been a big part of your life.
It has been. My family has been very athletic. My dad was a high school varsity baseball coach in Traverse City, also run the summer youth leagues. He also started the volleyball program in Traverse City. My brother was a great high school athlete, so I followed him as he was going through his career. And my mom was also very athletic. You could say it almost was part of my culture growing up, and it was something I never wanted to give up. So actually, when I started here at Michigan State in the fall of 1996 as a freshman, I was able to be put in contact with, at that point in time, the Sports Information Office, which is now Sports Communications, but was able to really start with them. And that's what really started my career with MSU athletics, being able to, whether it was keep stats or work in the press box, game day management, had a lot of different responsibilities. But the first sport that I really got put into with through the Sports Information Office was women's basketball. So I was courtside right from my freshman year. Really, from that point forward, women's basketball was something that I became very passionate about. When Susie Merchant was named head coach for MSU's women's team, I was fortunate in that I had a personal connection with Susie. And so I had gone to her and actually talked to her about a vision that I had for the radio broadcast. At that point in time, they only had a one-man crew. So what I did is I took a DVD of one of their games and dubbed my voice on top of that and took that to Susie and really proposed the idea as far as being able to make it a two-man team. And she then took that to Will Thiemann with the Spartan Sports Network. And he liked the job that I had done, so he had me do a few more voice tests and a couple other interviews, and sure enough, they actually then offered me the position, and I just completed this last year, my fourth year doing that, and it's something that I love doing. It really keeps me involved here with MSU Athletics, and I'd love for it to be able to even expand and hopefully even more opportunities develop from it.
Well, Mo, we're here to talk about your book, and we haven't talked about it at all yet. So I want to ask you to talk about your approach to writing this book, who your intended audience is. Do you intend this book for other wheelchair users, people who don't use wheelchairs? What was your intent in writing your book, Perspective from an Electric Chair?
In all honesty, I wanted my audience to be everyone. When I was in the brainstorm process, I thought about that. I tried to think, was this going to be something for young kids? Was it going to be something for adults? Was it going to be something for those with disabilities or without disabilities? And honestly, I felt the biggest impact was going to be to not try to frame it in that sense. It's actually been something that I've been able to go and do a lot of different discussions. And the youngest audience that I've talked with was actually a classroom of kindergarten students. And I have to be honest, that's probably the most nervous I've ever been with any group where I've gone to talk to were those kindergarten students. But it was still lots of fun. And obviously, just made it real simple and broke it down just as far as differences. We can still all be friends. So just making it real simple and basic. But then I've also talked all the way up to senior citizens, probably the most common group that I've been asked to come and communicate with has been high school students. They're very curious. They want to know about differences. And at the same time, they also realize that they're going to be out in that work world real soon, whether that be through college or whatever their next step is going to be. And they want to experience those different cultures or those different races, different disabilities. And that's where I think I've been able to have a really large impact in telling them sort of my story, but also my high school experiences and how those positive experiences have helped me really reach the fields that I have today.
Life is challenging, but you've forged a life that's rewarding and fun.
You have to have fun in life, and you have to be able to laugh at lots of things too, at your mistakes, at your challenges, because if you don't, I mean, it can eat you up real quickly.
The book is Perspective from an Electric Chair. Mo Gerhardt, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, Scott. It's a honor, and anything here with Michigan State, you know I'm always sure to bring out that Spartan pride, so thanks for having me today.
For Current State, this is Scott Pohl.